If you would, turn your hymnbooks to page 391. 391. See verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, the King of the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace divine, the King of the everlasting arms. You know I'm thinking. Steadfast as pure gold, you know I'm needing of the everlasting arms. What have I to bear? Everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear, being on the everlasting arms. You know I'm thinking, as the pure of Lord, you know I'm thinking of the everlasting heart, you know I'm
before we go to God in prayer this morning, please turn your hymnbooks to page 607. 670. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Every hour I need.
Shall we pray? Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you humble today, Father, and grateful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, to come together on this first day of the week, to be able to partake unto another worship service unto you, Heavenly Father. We so thankful, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day to live, to enjoy this life, a life that many times, Heavenly Father, that we can take for granted, Heavenly Father. We so thankful that we can once again marvel at all thy greatness, to marvel all at all that you have created for us, Heavenly Father. We so thankful, Heavenly Father, for thy blessing. So numerous, Heavenly Father, that we can never count them all. We can never be thankful enough for all that you do. And we just so thankful, Heavenly Father, for you just being able to love, not just to love everyone that's in attendance, Heavenly Father, but to love this whole world. To be able to be so compassionate. To be able to watch each and every one of us. Forgive us of our sins, Heavenly Father. To always have open arms, Heavenly Father, even if there are times that we may not give you the credit that you deserve, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for you for that. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, also that you will be with all those that were mentioned sick. The list was extensive, Heavenly Father, that you will be with all those that are quarantining as well, Heavenly Father, that they will receive the care that is needed so that it can be returned to their much-wanted health. They'll be able to come together and fellowship with us once again, Heavenly Father. We also pray that you be with the leaders of the congregation. We know that their responsibilities are many, Heavenly Father. Pray that they will continue to not only to make sure that our worship service is according to thy will, but as they monitor the situation, Heavenly Father, with COVID, as they have put in place all the guidelines, we're so thankful for all those that volunteer. And we pray that each and every one of us would do our part, Heavenly Father, so that we can keep each other safe, keep each other healthy, Heavenly Father. We also pray that you will be with our brother Skippy as he is preparing to bring us the lesson this morning. We're so thankful for all the hard work that he puts into each and every one of his lessons and all that he shares with us each and every first day of the week. And we just pray that this world, Heavenly Father, can just follow thy example. That we know that through thy love, through thy grace, You know, if we follow thy example, that we can, you know, overcome the many problems that this world faces, that we can only do them if we come together, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we begin this first day of the week, that you continue to watch over us and continue to keep us safe, and that we'll continue to follow thy example, Heavenly Father. Do everything in thy will, in thy will. For these things we pray for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your look to page 310. 310. In 1, 2, and 4.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious Thank you.
As we serve and partake of the Lord's Supper, we must remember that Christ Jesus paid our sin debt by dying on the cross of Calvary. We have before us two emblems, the bread that represents his body and the cup as the fruit of the vine that represents his blood that was shed. For the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. We humble ourselves, Father, in the name of Jesus, so grateful and appreciative of demonstrating how much you loved each and every one of us by giving your precious Son body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary. We give you praise and we give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's continue. Dear Father, as we're gathered around this table this morning to remember Christ and his great sacrifice, as we take of this fruit of the vine, which symbolizes the blood that was shed for us, that we may have life eternally with you, we pray that you'll be with us, not only at this time of the day, to reflect upon all of the things that have transpired on our behalf, but you'll be with us every day of our lives, that we'll think upon the meaning of this communion. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
If anyone was inadvertently overlooked, would you please signal by raising your hand, and you will be served. At this time, we have another Christian duty, another obligation unto God, to give reverence unto Him. And that is the privilege that we have, to give back the first fruits of our labor. Let us bow and give thanks. We're grateful and thankful, Father, for the good measures of health that you give each and every one of us, all of the good gifts of life, thanking you for your creation and sharing it with each and every one of us. It is a privilege and an honor to give back in support of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we thank you in His name. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymnals to page 854. 854, that will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 971. 971. Sing verses 1 and 3.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand His better, high and high, we're singing by and by. And by four, when the morning comes and you know all the saints of God are gathering home, then we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better, by and by. Temptation is snares, often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to plead for some thoughtless word or deed, and we wonder why the task. When we try to do our best, we will understand it better. By and by, we're singing by and by. And by, Lord, when the morning comes, and you know all the saints of God, again we home and we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. We're singing by and by. And by, Lord, when the morning comes and you know all the saints of God can report, and we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by.
Sermon title to today's lesson is Taking the Next Step. And the scripture reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 7. Again, that's Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 7. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Brother Skip.
Again, just like to say good morning. It's good to see those who come out this morning and those who have called in on our conference call. Just want to continue to pray for those who are going through this pandemic and this virus, and just pray that God will continue to give them the help and the strength that they need. If you're visiting with us this morning, we just want you to know that you are our guest. It's glad that you came to be a part of the service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, again, thank you for this day and for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us. Again, assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you for those who have tuned in as well to our worship service. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that something will be said today that will prick our hearts, that we can be better servants for you. Just thank you for those who have taken part in this service thus far. And then, Lord, we just ask you to forgive us for those sins we have committed through thought, word, or deed. That we just be the example that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Taking the next step. We all need to be making progress in our spiritual lives. We all have plenty of room for improvement. Taking the next step is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable that you might have to face some things that you are not ready to face. And that's what this sermon this morning is all about. It's about becoming more of what God wants each of us to be doing and to become. It's about leaving the shores of stagnant, disappointed Christianity, being stuck in our comfort zone, wading out into deep spiritual waters to be what God would have us to be. When you look at this particular text, in Ezekiel 47, three times over, the prophet says, "He brought me through," indicating not a final state, but a way to something that is deeper and better and a passing experience. But then notice also about this text. He talks about the rivers. And the rivers went from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep to a river that you could not cross over. In other words, it was over your head. But also when you look at Ezekiel, he shares a vision. Because see, Ezekiel is a book of vision. When you look at chapter 47, it's a river of life chapter. This chapter is parallel with Revelation chapter 22. And verse number 1. The river that Ezekiel saw in this vision was coming from God. He shares his vision of being led into the river of life and healing. And it represents grace. It represents love. It represents redemption. And it represents healing. The river flows to bring life to a dry and thirsty land. The river of God flows freely now, bringing life to dry souls. And so God calls us to wade into the water of life that flows freely. He calls us to trust in Him and follow as the Holy Spirit leads us. See, we can't always stay on dry land, but we must wade deeper and deeper if we're going to go to the next step or the next level. So let's look at the text this morning. Notice in verse number 3, we find that the waters were to the ankle. Now, the ankle is a basic and quite necessary bone in the body. It supports the body's weight, and it enables us to stand on our feet. You couldn't stand up without your ankle. So when you look at this ankle-deep water, it means that it was deep enough to cover the ankle. In other words, you are in the water, but just barely. You are in the water, but still in control. You are in the water, but still got a bad temper. You are in the water, but still have issues with anger and unforgiveness. You are in the water, but still watching things that feed the old nature. You are in the water, but still listening to music that stirs the old desires. You are in the water, but still living by the desires of the flesh. See, you can tell when folk who are stuck in ankle-deep water, because the water is always muddy around them, because they're always stirring something up. People who are stuck in ankle-deep water gets jealous when other people get blessed or promoted. Somebody get involved in the church and they are on fire. Instead of being happy for them, they get mad and they get jealous. See, it takes more than just getting your feet wet. You must fully submit to enjoy all the blessings that Jesus offers you. You must trust in him fully. The more you trust, the deeper your relationship will grow. As you venture deeper, the Holy Spirit begins to open doors of ministry. He leads you into a more fully fulfilling and joyful life in Christ's love. And as your faith grows, the more you'll be ready to go a little deeper. You'll be ready to venture a little deeper into knee-deep water. And that's what we see in verse number 4. The waters now is to the knees. The important thing to note is that the deeper you go into the river, the less flesh you will see. The deeper you go into the river, the less control that you have. The deeper you go into the river, the stronger the influence of the river's current becomes more. The deeper you get in the river, the farther you get from the shore. The deeper you get in the river, the less cool and influenced the things of this world has on you. See, wading out in knee-deep water means we must work just a little harder. You have to trust even more as God leads you into deeper ministry. Knee-deep water can hide many obstacles. It can cause you to stumble. And so this compels you to trust more in God and less in your own abilities. God is saying to you this morning, step out just a little further and trust in me. Because as your faith grows stronger, then God will lead you even deeper. There are too many folk in the church who are just knee-deep. In other words, they come because they have always came. And when they get here,
they are still not here because their mind is not on worship. Their mind is on other things. These people are comfortable in staying right where they are. They are locked into tradition. Yes, knee deep is farther than ankle deep, but you're still more out of the water than you're in the water. These people who are at church but not really in the church. Some are the church, some are in the church, but as yet have not allowed the church to be in them. And so knee deep, though better than ankle deep, is still not enough. You need to wade just a little deeper in the water. And so when you go back to the text, you see now the third level that the river now has reached, the waist. In verse number 4, see, waist deep is the halfway point. In other words, you are halfway in, but you're also halfway out. Some people have a halfway religion. They are just like the Jews of Elijah's day. They are halted between two opinions. In waist deep water, what we find is that Ezekiel had to take steps to move deeper into the water. To go on, he had to leave where he was at. When I look at Hebrews 6 and verse number 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. See, this is what keeps many people of God from making any real spiritual progress. It's because they don't want to grow up. They don't want to leave the comfort zone. They don't want to become responsible, and they don't want to become dependable. And so they stay where they are at because that is where they are familiar with. That is where they have got comfortable with. And so they would rather stand flat-footed in ankle-deep water where God has been than to have swim into the unknown where God is doing something new. And if you want God to do something in your life, you're going to have to learn how to step deeper in the water. Because in waist deep water, that's where the going really gets tough. The current is stronger. The deeper you wade out in the water, the more difficult it gets. There are more hidden obstacles. There are more hidden challenges than ever before. The deeper you wade out in the water, the more difficult life gets. The current is stronger. You have less control over your life. When you wade in waist deep, the water's current covers half of your body. It is at this point you begin to see less and less of yourself. The deeper you go in the water, it means your faith is getting stronger. You are seeing less of yourself, and you're seeing more of God as He takes over. Be assured that God is with you, is holding your hand tightly. But then He goes just a little further. When you look at verse number 5, we find Ezekiel, Bible saying, measured off another 1,000 cubits. But now it was a river that he could not cross, because the water has risen and was deep enough to swim in. See, this water was now over his head. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that's where God wants you and I to be. He wants us to wade into the water until it's over our head. You know that's what true Christianity is. It's over our heads. This is where we can't touch bottom and have no control at all. The current is too strong. The volume of water is massive. When you are this deep, you've gone beyond your own ability. This is where you lose all control. And now you depend all on God. You see, we got to understand that we can't figure it out because it's over our heads. It's beyond our understanding. And many people stumble in their Christian walk because they spend too much time trying to figure it out instead of letting God work it out. You can't figure it out because it's over your head. Too often people fail to trust in God, and they choose to stay on the shore. They think that they are safe from danger, but it's just a false security. You have never experienced the joy in your life if you fail to trust in God. Church, there will be times when the world will challenge your beliefs. Your faith will be tested, and you may want to go back on the shore. But we got to stay strong. Stay strong in the faith and let go and let God take over in your life. Your spiritual growth is determined by your ability to trust in God. I'm here to ask you a question this morning. How much do you really trust in God? You think about that. I'm not talking about when things are going good in your life. I'm talking about when everything is caving in your life. How much do you really trust God? Because that's what it's all about. It's trusting God. Because if you want to go deeper with God, you got to learn to go deeper in His Word. And so we got to understand, you got to go in over your head to experience the true victory in Jesus Christ. Then, as I began to see the end, look at verse 6 and verse 7. When you look at this, the man led Ezekiel back to the banks of the river. And when Ezekiel got back to the bank, he noticed a great number of trees on each side of the river. Everywhere the river flowed, it brought revival and new life. Everywhere the river flowed, it made the salt water fresh and the bitter water sweet. I'm here to tell you, That's the way it is with the Word of God. Everywhere it flows, it brings vitality and new life. It brings revival and refreshment. I don't know about you this morning. I don't know how you feel about it. But I'm going to wade in the water. I'm going to let the water be over my head, because I depend on God. I trust in Almighty God. I'm going to stretch out on His Word, because His Word is all right. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His Word is a comfort to my soul and my battle axe in times of war. His Word is food for my soul and strength to my spirit. His Word, it picks me up when I'm down, turns me around when I'm wrong. I'm glad that I got the Word, and I'm going to stay in the Word. I'm going to wade in His Word. What about you? What about you this morning? Are you going to wade in the Word of God? Are you going to go deep and let it be over your head, realizing that I can't depend upon my own strength, but I got to depend fully on God? For somebody this morning, the next step is going to change your life. The next step means a whole new dimension. The next step means the end of some old stuff. Some of the battles you fought, you're not going to have to fight anymore. For somebody, this next step is going to break you out of some traditions that have robbed you and limit your experience and held you back. This next step, it's going to take you out of some stuff. It's going to take you out of some drama. It's going to take you out of some misery. It's going to take you out of the mud. I don't know about you, but some of us have been stuck in the mud too long. You ought to say to God today, I'm not going to be stuck in the mud. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of the mud. I'm going deeper. I'm going to the next level. I'm going to take the next step. And so, in order to do that, you're going to have to look back, and you can't allow situations. You can't allow people to keep you down. You're going to the next step. You're going to the next level. So you say to the Lord, today, Lord, today I'm coming out. I'm going to the next level. I'm going to the next step. Because God has been good to me. God has been merciful to me. God has been gracious to me to allow Him to just live, allow us to live just a little longer. To be able to come in here this morning to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for letting me see that I've been wading in ankle deep. I've been wading in waist deep. But, Lord, I'm going to get deeper. I'm going into the water that's going to go over my head. Because, God, you're the same God that has brought me through ankle deep. You brought me through waist deep. And, Lord, you're the same God that's going to bring me through the water that's over my head. I will let nothing and no one hold me back from going to the next level. If you're here this morning, you're not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go to that next level. Go to that next level by obeying him. You heard the word, believe it to be true, repent of your sins, and confess Christ and be baptized. If you're here in a Christian, not been living under Christian shit, maybe you've been waiting too long, in ankle deep, in waist deep. Now is time to just go a little further. Trust God. See what God can do in your life. If you're subject to the invitation, don't put it off. Come right now to stand and sing the song of invitation, won't you come?
There is coming a day when your heart is shaken. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. On a happy shore. What a great, glorious day that will be. What a day. Jesus, I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sin. No more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see and my hope upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day. Jesus, I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What